Blog Talk Radio.
Father knows that you need all these things, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient enough for the day is its own troubles. I've read to you Matthew chapter 6, verses 30-34. Now I'm going to read from the book of Psalms, verse 91, the entire verse. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in him I will trust. Surely he shall deliver you from the snare, the trap of the fowler. Of course, the fowler is a person who kills or usually takes food or whatever he wants. He'll make a law and break the law. And from the perilous pestilence. That's like a hazardous disease. And of course, you know, pestilence can be a fatal epidemic disease, like an STD or bubonic plague, or flu, the avian flu, the swine flu, TB or tuberculosis, anything that you can catch that's like a disease or a pestilence. He shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrows that fly by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked. Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your habitation, no evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near you or your dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. Thank you, God. They shall bear you up in their hands, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent you shall trample underfoot. Because he has set his love upon him, upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. Thank you, God. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Thank you, Father God. Heavenly Father God, creator of all things, thank you for this beautiful, clear Sabbath day in Detroit, Michigan. Thank you for this mild weather and your continual protection from natural disasters. Thank you, God, for your continual blessing of good health, sane mind, prosperity, wisdom, and knowledge, and protecting me and all my loved ones and your sheep from seen, from dangers, seen and unseen. Amen. Amen and amen again. Hi there, sheep. This is the Feed My Sheep Show, and you're listening to Sandra Harris, your hostess. Happy Sabbath day to you all. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. Amen. Turn your Bibles with me to the book of Matthew, chapter 13 is where we left off, verse 44. We left there the last time. We're going to pick up reading there. And, of course, my Bible may read a little different from yours. And you know to have your pen, pencil, or paper handy, right? Along with a cool glass of water. So let's get started about being about the Lord God's business. Chapter 13, Matthew, verse 44. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hides. And for joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought him. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a dragnet. That's like a big old net that the fisherman may throw into the sea or to the river, that he casts into the sea and gathers all kinds of fish. That's like the kingdom of heaven is like a net that gathers and draws in all races of people, which when it is full, they draw it to the shore, and they sat down and gathered the good into the vessel and throw the bad away. So it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come forth, separate the wicked from among the just, and cast them into the furnace of fire. There will be wailing. And you know, wailing is crying out aloud and gnashing of teeth. That's like grinding your teeth. And you'll find that in the book of Revelation, where the wicked will be separated from the righteous. Jesus said to them, "Have you understood all these things?" They said to him, "Yes, Lord." Then he said to them, "Therefore, every scribe instructed concerning the kingdom of heaven is like a household." And let me tell you what I think scribe is. Scribe is a person who writes. He writes down what God tells him to do or instructs him to do. Just as I had a dream twice where I was instructed or told to feed my sheep and to minister unto the people, for I am with you. And so this is what the scribe does. He's being obedient and writes down what God tells him to. Let's pick up reading. The scribe instructs it concerning the kingdom of heaven is like a householder who brings out his treasure things new and old. Now it came to pass when Jesus had finished these parables that he departed from there. And when he had come to his own country, he taught them in their synagogue, so that they were astonished and said, "Where does this man get this wisdom and these mighty works? Is this not the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary? And his brothers James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas? And his sisters, are they not all with us? Where then did this man get these things?" So they were offended. And I'm thinking that offended means that they were not happy with Jesus had done. They were upset at what Jesus had done. But Jesus said to them, "A prophet is not with honor except in his own country, in his own house." Now I need to read that again, because to me it sounds like I misread it. Jesus said to them, "A prophet is not without honor except in his own country and in his own house." Well, I did read that right. "And he did not do any mighty works there because of their unbelief." tells us that we must believe the works that Jesus does or the instruction that he gives us, so that whatever mighty works he wants to perform will be done in our lives. Let's pick up at chapter 14. At that time, Herod the Tetrarch heard the report about Jesus and said to his servants, This is John the Baptist. He is risen from the dead, and therefore these powers are at work in him. For Herod had laid hold of John and bound him and had put him in prison for the sake of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife. For John had said to him, "It is not lawful for you to have her." Now, what Herod had done was started having sexual relations with his brother Philip's wife. And let's turn to Leviticus chapter 20, verse 21. Just bear with me, I'll find that for you in a few minutes. Leviticus chapter 20, verse 21. And I am one who teach the laws. I like to tell you about the laws. In fact, I'm not supposed, there's no teacher except for Jesus. And I told you all that about that one. And you'll find that in the book of Matthew. The law says, if a man takes his brother's wife, it is an unclean thing. He has uncovered his brother's nakedness. So there are laws that we are to follow. It doesn't matter to me what someone in a seminary teaches you. It's what I tell you. And I will be held accountable at the end of my life for teaching you what I believe God wants me to tell you. I should not use the word teach. I'm trying to get used to not using the word teach because there is no teacher but the good Lord God. And I think you'll find that in the book of Matthew. I don't want to lose my spot. I don't understand why my song is playing. Let me stop that. Okay, let's get back to reading the book of Matthew, chapter 14. And we'll pick up at verse 5. And although he wanted to put him to death, he feared the multitude because they counted him as a prophet. But when Herod's birthday was celebrated, the daughter of Herodias danced before them and pleased Herod. Therefore, he promised with an oath to give her whatever she might ask. So she, having been prompted by her mother, said, "Give me the John the Baptist's head there on a platter." You know, this leads me to say that sometimes we make promises that we should not keep when we know that it is wrong, or when we have a gut feeling we should not do that. Pick up at verse 9. And the king was sorry. Nevertheless, because of the oath and because of those who sat with him at the table, he commanded it be given to her. So he sent and had John beheaded in prison, and his head was brought on a platter and given to the girl, and she brought and gave it to her mother. Then his disciples came and took away the body and buried it, and went and told Jesus. And when Jesus heard this, he departed from there by boat to a deserted place by himself. A deserted place is an empty place by himself. But when the multitudes heard it, they followed him on foot from their cities. And when Jesus went to, and when Jesus went out, he saw a great multitude, and a multitude, that's a huge number of people, a large number of people. And he was moved with compassion, you know. And compassion is to have pity, or he had concern for those who were sick. And he was moved with compassion for them and healed their sick. When it was evening, his disciples came to him saying, "This is a deserted place, and the hour is late. Send the multitude away that they may go into the villages and buy themselves food." But Jesus said to them, "They do not need to go away. Give them something to eat." And they said to him, "We have here only 5 loaves and 2 fish. He said, meaning Jesus said, "Bring them here to me." Bring them here, he's referring to the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. Then he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass. And he took the 5 loaves and 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he blessed and broke and gave the loaves to the disciples, and the disciples gave to the multitudes. And they ate and were filled. And they took up 12 baskets full of fragments that remained. And fragments means something that you break into parts. So like when Jesus broke the food into parts that was left. Now, those who had eaten were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. And so I'm going to guess that there were. And no, I will leave it at that, because sometimes people get into guessing and thinking what they saw, and it will be something totally wrong. So let's pick up reading at chapter 14, verse 22. Immediately, Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on a mountain by himself to pray. And when evening had come, he was alone there. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by waves, and the wind was contrary. And, you know, contrary means like it was not calm. Now, in the fourth watch of the night, in the fourth watch, that's between like 3 a.m. in the morning and 6 a.m. Now, in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking, and when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "Is it a ghost?" And they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid." And Peter said to him, Lord, if it is you, command me to come on the water. And he said, meaning Jesus said, come. And Peter came down out of the boat and walked on the water to go to Jesus. When he saw the wind was boisterous or wild and stormy, he was afraid and began to sink and cried out, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? And when he got into the boat, the wind ceased. And those who were in the boat came and worshipped him, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. When they had crossed over, they came to a land of Gennesaret. And when the men of that place recognized him, they sent out into all the surrounding region, brought to him all who were sick, then begged him that they might only touch the hem of his garment, that they may be made perfectly well. Well, I'm going to stop here at chapter 15. We'll pick up there the next time. Let's go with a closing prayer. Father God, thank you always for your divine protection from the evil one and the disasters that they would like to bring upon us, your sheep. Direct our path and lead us not into temptation, and give us this day our daily bread. In Jesus' name, amen. Sheep, take the Lord God along with you wherever you go. And if it is God's will, I will talk with you at another time.
Jesus is love. my soul.